Good morning, everyone. Happy Canada Day weekend. We are changing things up a bit today. Slightly different format than usual. First of all, because all the kids are upstairs. But secondly, here, we'll relocate that. Today's message is going to be more interactive than usual. I didn't come up here to sermonize. I came up here to share the gospel. But sharing is a two-way street. So, starting with this question, which I'm going to limit this. The answer to this question is limited to anyone who's under the age of 30. So you all know, I'm not going to ask the ladies how old they are, you know. Anyone under the age of 30, could you please give me a definition of the word interactive? Interactive. We have some scholars in here, I know it. Come on. What do we think? More action? Okay, that's good. What about over here? Talking to the other person. I would like to thank both of you for demonstrating interaction. You did a great job. So, today's message is going to be interactive. I'm going to be speaking. I'm going to be asking questions. These are not rhetorical questions. I'm expecting people to help me out by answering those questions. So I would appreciate it if we interacted with each other. Now, we are going to start with this guy right here, who is very short and has a very Charlie Brown head, because I am terrible at drawing, but that's okay. Okay, so who is this guy? Does anybody know who this is? Go ahead. Thomas, it's you? Okay. We just got our first volunteer. Welcome to the front. Come on up. Come on up. Is there anybody else that identifies with this guy right here? Anybody else? Maybe someone that's not quite as young as Thomas. Do we have some not so? Okay, the 30 range is where that's out the window. Anyone that's above 30 that identifies with this guy right here? There we go. We got stick man number two. Come on up front. Thank you very much, James. We're on a timetable, so we're just going to do the two volunteers. So, what we want to do is we want to... No. You do. There you go. We're just looking for three items for each of our volunteers. We'll start with Thomas. I want you to let me know how you identify Thomas. So, for example, I would identify Thomas as a boy, because he is a boy. So, give me an option here. Yes. Yellow shirt. No, that identifies his shirt, not Thomas. He just happens to be wearing a yellow shirt today. Short? Okay. Anyone else? Silly. All right. Let's get a little more basic, though. He requires glasses. All right. Okay, now we're explaining. Okay, so that's three for Thomas. Now we want three for James. Now think about, James is standing in a lineup because he's been accused of a crime. So he's being described in by the police report, okay? So how are you going to describe him? Because silly, you might not necessarily know that he's a silly guy, right? Go ahead. Guilty? All right, guilty. Okay. Guilty. That's a good one. You know what? I should underline that. Hang on a second. We're guilty. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead. Winter. Tall. Okay, so now we got short and tall. Okay. Anybody else? Musician. How did you know that from a police lineup? That's incredible. He looks gifted at the same time as guilty. Okay, he happens to be a musician. Okay, so thank you very much. You two can both sit down. You did a great job. So these are all descriptive words that identify people. Now, in a broader sense, we could say that James is a father to his son and his daughter. He's a husband to his wife. Thomas is a son because he has a mother and father. I was hoping Brian would be here because he was a great example. He is a multitude of things because of his... working as a fire captain, he's a captain, but he's also a subordinate under the chief, and he's a brother, but then he's also works with Matt on the volunteer fire department in East Gwillimbury, so he's an associate that way. He is a son, he is a father, he is a lot of things. But he is still just him. All of that is built into one person, right? We all have a number of hats that we wear, a number of things that identify us, okay? So, the reason I am asking all this is that we're trying to dig into, okay, so who are we? But in reality, when we look at what the Bible says, it's a whole lot simpler, right? We have all these different descriptive words, but what does the Bible say? Who does the Bible say that we are? And I love that in the first meeting, we went to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, because that was my very first reference. And in Romans 3:23, the Bible tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So, that's why we underline guilty. I like that. But, in a more general sense, the Bible tells us that we are sinners. Now, if you look through the Bible, you'll see a lot of stories about thousands and thousands of people over the history of time. And some of them have good qualities, and some of them have bad qualities. But the overarching common denominator amongst all mankind is that we are sinners. So what does this mean? First question, should we be concerned about the fact that we are sinners? Any thoughts on that? I heard a yes. Is that Ethan? So we should be concerned about being sinners. Anyone disagree with that? Most of the world, okay. Basically, anybody that can't hear what I'm saying because they didn't come to church this morning. No, I'm just kidding. But there are a lot of people that are not at church this morning or that don't necessarily believe in God. And they are not necessarily concerned about the fact that they are sinners. Some people would even argue with you whether or not they are a sinner. They would disagree. I'm a good guy. That guy over there, he's terrible, right? That's why he's in jail. Me, I'm not so bad, right? And they will try to justify their own existence. But the Bible is very clear. All have sinned. Second question. Okay, everyone is a sinner. Let's go with that. We all agree with that because we know that the Bible is the truth. Why not just go with that then? Okay, so if everybody's a sinner, then we're all rowing in the same boat. Why don't we just carry on like that? Yes. Some of us have turned to God. Any ideas? Why? Why is it an issue to stay sinful? Thoughts? This is open to everybody. Thomas? We know it's wrong. Oh, what was the second part? Say that again. The wages of sin is death. Okay, that's my second verse. My second verse, Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, so that verse tells me that sin leads to death. It also is talking about this free gift of God. But how does that work? Free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Okay, so we know who we are. Let's go somewhere else. Okay, so who is Christ Jesus? Now, as my class knows, I'm a big fan of sword drills. So this next verse that we're going to look up the sword drill real quick. We've got to keep this moving, but we want to look at what the Bible tells us about Jesus. So, in Luke chapter 9, everybody, we all know how soldiers work. Spine down. Massey. There we go. Well done. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, go. And we're going to read three verses. Hang on, no. You got to stand. See, like, I wasn't going to give you all the rules. We got to see the people that remember it. Okay, Lisa is here. She's going to read 18, 19, and 20. Yes, please. Okay, so him in this passage is Jesus. And we see that he's trying to engage his disciples to understand who he is. They've been with him for a while now, and he's been teaching and healing. And he says, okay, start with the easy question. Who's the crowd say I am? All you have to do is remember what the crowd has said. So there's a couple options here. John the Baptist. Well, that's interesting because John the Baptist is a completely different person than Jesus. In fact, John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So I'm not really sure why someone would think they were the same person, but okay. And then another option was Elijah. Okay, Elijah's been dead for a long time, but I guess there's these people that think that maybe Elijah's come back to life. Okay? Or another one of the old prophets that's come to life. And Jesus comes straight to the point. He says, okay, who do you say that I am? And Peter steps up and he says, you are the Christ of God. Now, Greek there is Messiah. So we have Christ Jesus is the Messiah. And we didn't read the next verse, but Jesus basically says, don't tell anybody that you figured that out, because he had a perfect time for everything. Okay. What about now? What do people say about Jesus now? Give me some options. Has anyone heard anyone talking about Jesus? They've discussed it with their colleagues, for example. Okay, so they still agree that he's a prophet. Prophet. How's my writing? Anything else? Never existed. Did not exist. Well, that's interesting, because we know the Bible is truth, and yet people, even though they see that it's written in the truth, they disbelieve it. All-powerful. That ties in nicely with my next. All-powerful. Okay, so I've also heard people talk about Jesus being an angel as opposed to necessarily being God. He's not God, he's an angel. But when we look at John 8 and verse 58, John 8 and 58. Now Jesus is talking to the leaders of the Jews, the religious leaders, and he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in English, we may not get the full impact of that statement. Let's look at the next verse. So they picked up stones to throw at him. That seems a little extreme for someone saying, I am. But you have to understand the word that he used. And that word is the word to exist outside of being created. And he is referencing the exact same word in Hebrew that God used in Exodus. Moses going to the Israelites, and God, he says, who am I supposed to say is sending me? God's response is, tell them that I am has sent you. So we have Jesus telling the religious leaders, I am. He is identifying himself as God. So they were ready to stone him because they didn't believe that he was the Son of God. In their minds, what he said was blasphemy. It was making himself God, and they couldn't get their heads wrapped around the fact that it was actually true, that he was God. So what is this? Where does this lead us? So he is the I am. We want to tie this together because we're looking at this passage that Todd read, and it says that in Christ we have salvation. In John 14, verse 6, let's just look at that quickly. John 14, verse 6. And he's talking to his disciples right now. Jesus said to him, him being Thomas, the disciple, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So we see in this passage, even after years of being Jesus' disciples, they've seen his miracles, they've been with him through all that he's done, and they still don't quite understand his purpose in being on earth. And he's explained to them that his purpose is to provide a way of salvation. He is the way of salvation. So this leads me to another question. How does Jesus provide salvation? We talk about the gift of God. We talk about that Jesus is the way. But how does that play out? How the Bible tells us, and I know that there are a lot of people in here that know the answer to this, so I'm just going to put it out there. How is it that Jesus provides a way of salvation? Lisa. He paid the price. Okay, how? Was it a cash transaction? Did he barter something? He died on the cross. The cross of Christ is in the center of history. And when we look at that passage that Todd read for me earlier, it says to us, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We lived in the passions of our flesh. I'm just paraphrasing through. We're by nature children of wrath. But God, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. So, we see here that the gift of God was actually his son, Jesus. And Jesus died in our place because we were children of wrath. This isn't something that we've earned. We can't work our way to heaven. We can't fix our broken condition. We can't fix the fact that we're sinners. It's been said many times that our state as sinners is a vicious cycle. We sin because we are sinners, and we are sinners because we sin. There's nothing in and of ourselves that we can do to repair that. But God, he's done everything that needs to be done. And it was Christ dying on the cross that paid for our sin. So this message this morning is something of an introduction to the open Sunday school that we're going to be doing throughout the summer this year. The theme for that, the topic is what we are in Christ. And there's 9 different headings. And I'm just going to summarize them quickly. But the headings are that in Christ, I am God's workmanship. I am loved. I am freely forgiven. I am God's child. I am redeemed. I am abundantly blessed. I am secure. I am transformed. And I am victorious. When Brian stood up this morning in the earlier meeting, I was struck by the fact that he had zeroed in on the idea of the mystery of God being Christ in us. And at the same time, we see that when we are in Christ, all of these things play out. So, in closing, I would just like to invite everyone to consider the only two identifications that truly matter in an eternal perspective. We are born and identified as sinners. But by the grace of God, through faith in His Son, we can be identified in Christ. And we can be with Him in heaven. So, as we go forward this summer, remember that as much fun as it is to not be in school, to possibly be on vacation a lot, beautiful weather, all of that is in itself a gift from God, but it pales in comparison to His greatest gift, which was the gift of His Son. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son. Lord, we thank You that You ever loved us, that You ever sent Your Son to provide a solution to the sin problem. Lord, we pray that You would touch each one, that Your Spirit would move among us, and that we would all be convicted of our sin, Lord, and of our need for a Savior. We thank You that You provided a way of salvation. And not only that, Lord, but You provided the revelation of Yourself in Your Word. We thank You for each one here today. We pray a special blessing on them, Lord, and that You would keep us safe as we go from this place. We ask all these things.